So that's Ephesians chapter 5, and we will start to read at verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. We are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.
Well, you need to turn to page 860 in your church Bible, and we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3. Ephesians 5 was read, and you'll need to keep your finger in 827, also because we'll refer to that in a moment or two. Husbands, says Peter, addressing husbands now, having addressed wives, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So if last week it was reverberating around TCM, be submissive, then this morning as we start, though we'll have to finish it at the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month, be understanding, husbands. We're thinking about marriage. We're thinking it through the eyes of the Bible and 1 Peter in particular. Because the Bible gives us a unique vision for marriage. It shows us marriage under King Jesus and in relationship to the Lord Jesus. This is a vision that I said last week that no cultural view, no matter how helpful that cultural view might be, no cultural view will give you. You will find these views nowhere else but in the Bible. And we welcome you, Lord Jesus, amongst us, because praise is rising from our hearts as we give you worship, and we give you worship now for your truth and its clarity in all of these things. No, this verse does not answer all the issues. It will raise all kinds of questions, maybe in our minds and hearts, and you can discuss them through Scripture at your leisure. Only Scripture can shape marriage fundamentally so that it truly, though not perfectly, reflects God. Only Scripture can shape marriage fundamentally so that it truly, though not perfectly, reflects God. And so the key thought in 1 Peter is critical to understand. As followers of Jesus, we need to develop a deep awe of the greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. We maybe have stood in the presence of somebody great and we've been awed by them. We've been a bit trembly on the inside. Maybe we've had a sense of privilege that here we are standing next to greatness. Never had that feeling, or at least in the realm of humanity. Well, God has entered our lives in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be awed by that. We should tremble in relation to it, but also we should have a sense of incredible privilege. God has entered our lives in covenant love through his Son. It is this which is to transform us internally, and therefore will transform us relationally, whether that's in marriage or in other areas. Do you see that in verses 7 as 8 to 9 of 1 Peter chapter 3? Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. And we have to work that out in our church family, and we have to work that out in our relationships with each other in all kinds of ways, and we have to work that out in the marriage realm if we are followers of Jesus. And we can only do that if we are awed by the greatness of knowing God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. And Peter is referring to this. Chapter 2, verse 17. Here we are as believers under maybe an unjust government. Look at verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Look at verse 18 in regard to slaves who were being harshly and unjustly treated by their masters. And these slaves are indeed to submit them yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but to those who are harsh. Because these slaves have to remind themselves that they are to fear God. They are to have a reverence towards God. They're following Christ and his example, who entrusted himself to God himself, who was at that point his master. You see? Christ himself had to cultivate within himself an awed respect for God the Father. Chapter 3, verse 2, we're told that wives, who are not to be harshly treated, of course, by their husbands, as we'll see in a moment, they are to live with their husbands and win them over without words when their husbands see, notice verse 2, the purity and reverence of your lives. And the reverence of a woman's life is the fact that she is awed by the greatness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 7 of chapter 3, husbands. The NIV renders the start of this verse, and it's all we're going to consider this morning, as be considerate. If you're in ESV, you will discover it says, live with your wife in an understanding way. Literally, it means this, live according to knowledge. So let's be absolutely clear. If you get nothing else this morning, what is the knowledge that permeates the whole of the Bible that husbands are supposed to have in their heads? Three things. Number one, God has created marriage, not human beings. Number two, that all marriage is to be regulated by the truth of God. And number three, all marriage, particularly Christian marriage, is to be empowered by Christ as Lord in his grace. That's knowledge. And so husbands, this morning, and I'm a husband, so I'm talking to myself. Been a long week, you know. Be understanding. Live with your wife in accordance with knowledge. The knowledge of who God is, who Jesus is, what the Word says, and what the Gospel brings, as we will see. That is how, as husbands, we are to look at marriage. We are to look at our wives. And therefore, I would say also to would-be husbands in this room this morning. That's how you are to approach looking at marriage, whether you actually have someone in relationship, you're in relationship with or not. According to knowledge. Be understanding. According to knowledge, therefore, means you have to look at marriage and your dear wife through the lens of Scripture. Did you notice that in Ephesians chapter 5? Where Paul is expounding how husbands are to love their wives like Christ, love the church. And he takes the Ephesian church back to Genesis chapter 2. And he quotes that a man shall leave his wife and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It's a quotation from Genesis chapter 2, 24. Paul is saying to the Ephesian church, you have to look at marriage through the lens of Scripture, through the entirety of the Bible. We're not to look at marriage primarily through the distorted lens of culture. We're not to look at marriage through the sinful interpretations of the Bible, often driven by culture itself. We are to live according to knowledge. We are to live according to the entire revelation of the Bible in relation to marriage. Which means we have to study the Bible. We are not to live according to feelings. Feelings do not tell us who we are essentially as human beings. Feelings do not tell us essentially who we are sexually. Feelings do not tell us essentially how relationships should be governed. We live in a culture that says that feelings determine everything. Husbands, you are to live with your wives according to knowledge. Not simply feelings. God tells us who we are. He tells us who we are because he created us. God tells us who we are because Jesus Christ came as a human being. God tells us who we are in singleness, or God tells us who we are in marriage. It makes no difference. Because God is God and we are not. We are made in his image. We are living in his world. And many of us have been rescued into a relationship with God through his Son. And just because God rescues us into a relationship with himself through his Son does not mean he ditches all his creation thinking. In fact, we would want to make it very clear this morning that actually the creation is restored in us and made perfect. Through the lens of Scripture, according to knowledge. Through the experience of the good news of the gospel is the second way that we are to do this. And Peter does it. Peter will refer eventually to wives being co-heirs of the gracious gift of life. We'll unpack that on the 29th much more fully. Looking forward to that bit. Awed by God. We are to live. God has entered our lives not simply as our creator, but as our redeemer. He has entered our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ is our Lord now. God should have entered our lives as judge and condemned us eternally to hell in order that we would have no relationship with himself at all. That's how he should have entered our lives. We committed the terrible crime of trying to be the God of our own lives. Yet God has entered our lives through his Son. The Son that he sent to rescue us. The Son that came as a baby, then grew into adulthood. The Son who, on the basis of a perfect life, died on a cross for your sin and my sin. To remove the guilt and the punishment of all of that in order that God could enter into our lives in love and accept us forever. That's good news, isn't it? That's the gospel. And now we have a destiny. Through Jesus rising again from the dead and the Holy Spirit living inside us, now we have a destiny. A destiny of living in a new world, a new creation, forever and ever, where we will be eternally single and always married to Jesus. That's our destiny. Eternally single and happy about it, and eternally married to Jesus as his bride. According to knowledge. Our experience of the gospel is quite clearly this. We do it through baptism, so let me do it with you. Into baptism, this is our pool. For those of you who don't know, you can't see it because it's underneath there. But we go down into the waters because we are saying that the old Maurice Kinnaird, devoted to self and self alone, is now dead in Jesus. And then we raise people out of the water because we are saying that in Jesus there is a new boss. And we are now following Jesus as our boss, raised to live in the ways that God wants to us to live. And so in marriage, if I'm a follower of Jesus, stick with me, then I can't live out my old life, the old Maurice Kinnaird, committed to myself. That's going to be a disaster for me as an individual. It's going to be a disaster for my wife. It's not going to bring any glory to God if I live out my sinful nature that still remains in my heart. I have to learn, notice what I'm saying, I have to learn to live out the lordship of Jesus, which will be good for me, it will be good for my wife, though it will be certainly very hard for me to do that. And you know why many people duck it now. Because you see, my dear friends, let's be absolutely clear, that although we're followers of Jesus, and we are loved and accepted by God forever, there is still something in us that wants to be utterly selfish. And husbands and wives who are followers of Jesus have the same struggle. And husbands are to understand that about themselves and about their wives. And the only way that marriage will then work in a way that glorifies God and honors Jesus, as both of them, husband and wife, learn to be awed by Jesus on the inside of their lives, and then they will give themselves to each other under the lordship of Jesus. Tim Chester, in his book, You Can Change, says this: the secret of the gospel is being convinced that Jesus himself is the good life and the fountain of all joy. I chose my title quite deliberately for this part of the series, God's Good Life in Marriage. So let's be absolutely clear, we'll do this on the 29th a bit more fully. Let me say that singleness is not the good life. May have come good things in it, but it also has some hard things in it, doesn't it, singles? Let me also say that marriage is not the good life. It's got some good things in it, and it's got some hard things in it. The good life is Jesus Christ himself. And that's the reason why we can do things that we don't want to do. It's not just children who need to be told that. It's all of us, isn't it? Yes, there are failures and fears. There's guilt and there's shame. But it can all be washed away. We sung that already this morning, didn't we? That's good news for us, isn't it? As husbands and wives. But more than that, in another hymn, we can live through the selfless love of Christ in selfless ways so that the other person flourishes. That's what happened on the cross, isn't it? Jesus died the selfless death in order that you and I could flourish forever. Husbands, live according to knowledge. And the third aspect, and I'm finished now, is that let us live with an intimate knowledge of our dear wives. To have a wife and to love her through the lens of the scripture and in the gospel is a great privilege as well as a responsibility. I'm going to say this and then I'm finished. It's a bit provoking, but I don't mind. I've never learned any sense over 40 years of ministry. Husbands and wives, please never put each other first. You will never love each other truly and properly if you do. See, the natural heart for all of us is to put ourselves first, isn't it? But if we've understood the unique vision and gospel transformation that I'm trying to lay before you, you put Jesus first. It's not a playing around with words. You put Christ first. You make sure that Christ is Lord in your heart. And when you do, husbands, you will love your wife, here's the good news, as Christ loved the church. That's how it works. So wives will be loved sacrificially and patiently and joyfully and graciously and kindly and wisely. Because marriage is not coupledom. It's discipling each other that each may follow Jesus and reflect the glory of God. Well, we've had enough, I think. Let me pray, and then we'll sing, and then our morning can unfold.